What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Sunday night, 9:10 p.m. Eastern, and somehow Heath Cummings is awake. And he's with us, and he's like, I think his wife went clothes shopping because he's been looking really like trendy and cool lately. Another nice shirt. And Heath, glad you could join us here on Sunday night.
Have you ever discussed in a good or bad way what someone else on the podcast besides me was wearing?
Probably.
Or what type of look they were sporting?
I'm just saying the last two shirts you've worn have been really excellent shirts.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the fact that you like them.
I do. Happy Sunday night to Heath. Dave and Jamie are here. You guys ready for some for a lot of sleepers, breakouts, and busts?
Yeah.
Come on, Dave. You're always ready for that.
No, not today.
What's the matter?
My guy's hurt.
Oh, Rager?
Yeah.
He's like, well, it's not that bad. It's small tear. Small tear. Who even notices a small tear these days?
It's over.
No.
Wow. Wow.
Man.
Well,
can't draft him. Can't do it.
What? You can't draft? He might miss 2 weeks.
I mean, look, you could draft him, but why?
Well, as we've been telling people, add some IR spots, and now he's probably a short-term IR candidate. So if he gets put on that list, you can stash him, and then hopefully by the end of the season, he's playing well.
Sucks.
Might miss 2 weeks. All right. So I was going to ask you guys, what's the biggest news item of the weekend? Is it that?
When's the last time a dude wore a harness on his shoulder and was awesome at football?
Did you hear how he hurt it?
Yes.
A tackling a defensive player after the second team quarterback threw an interception?
Yes.
Well,
he's a gamer to the core.
Also, the first team quarterback left with a mild soft tissue injury. So Carson Wentz, a little hurt. I don't think we're panicking there. Miles Sanders, We know he's hurt. They've lost their left tackle. They've lost the...
They're going to be that team. They're going to be the Chargers of the East.
Okay.
Giants may finish second.
No, stop.
No.
So the Giants have been really snake-bitten too. So the Eagles.
Defense doesn't count.
They lost their left tackle. That counts.
Yeah.
He's going to be benched anyway.
No. But... Giants tackles were so bad in the scrimmage. Okay, anyway, you should know that for fantasy purposes. But for the Eagles, let's talk about Carson Wentz. Are we dropping Carson Wentz? Jalen Reagor, shoulder injury. He has a small tear. He's out 3 to 4 weeks. Alshon Jeffrey's on PUP, but making progress. So DeSean Jackson, let's talk about his value. Let's talk about Carson Wentz. And Jamie, give me your reaction to the Jalen Reagor injury.
Yeah, I mean, it stinks. You know, you're sorry, you had some volume issues. I was doing some background music. It stinks.
That's
one of our lovely ads. Thank you, CBSSports.com. It stinks. You know, I mean, he was a guy that, you know, has a big opportunity in front of him and hopefully still will, depending on how long he's out. We don't know when Jeffrey's going to come back, but. You know, any setback for a rookie at this stage of the game is not good. And the fact that the left tackle's out, the fact that the right guard is out, the fact that, Alshon's not back and Miles Sanders is banged up, I think it's not encouraging. So, yeah, I mean, Wentz has to fall a few spots. And so I was drafting Wentz ahead of the elder statesman of Breeze, Brady, and Ryan, and I think I would take the elder statesman ahead of them now. You know, so those guys have a higher ceiling. I say that I had a father-son draft with my eight-year-old son, Ronan, today, and we took Carson Wentz. We also took Matthew Stafford. So, you know, we're covered in that regard, at least I hope. But Wentz, you know, loses with all of these things on top of the fact, like you said, Adam, he's hurt.
Dave, you agree? Are you taking Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Drew Brees over Carson Wentz?
I was already taking them ahead of Wentz because I'm nervous about Wentz missing games and maybe even missing snaps after they drafted Jalen Hurts. He's remaining at 12 for me at quarterback. I'm sure he'll have some really good games at some point in September. Week one, certainly against Washington, could be one of those games, but guys are – Eagles are falling. It's not fun. And, yeah, he deserves to be 12th. I can't say take Roethlisberger, take Daniel Jones, Goff, Aaron Rodgers. Can't say that yet.
I may take Cam over.
Okay.
Heath?
I will not take Cam over him or Roethlisberger. I'm still kind of struggling with it. Like, I had him higher than anybody else. I had him seventh ahead of Allen. And like when the offensive line happened, I made some changes to my projection for him and he was still seventh. And so I've bumped him down just a little bit now and he's down to eighth. I would take Ryan over him. You get to Brady, Breeze, probably not all in that same range. Like he's going to go after those guys. I don't need to take Carson Wentz before them. I was getting Carson Wentz in like the 11th round of our drafts before this happened. So I presume he's going to be like QB 15 or something now.
He's got Washington, the Rams, and the Bengals to start the season. And after that, he's at San Francisco, at Pittsburgh, and versus Baltimore.
Yeah, but he could have all of his receivers by then. You know, he could have, she should have Rager by then.
He's going to have about a second and a half to throw in those three games.
But you know, you say that, Adam.
The way it is.
You say that he should have Rager by then. We have no idea. I mean, you know, he could be short term IR, you know, if they're deciding that they're going to, you know, be cautious with him. The other receivers, remember, they went through this last year with losing guys and they like Greg Ward. We've heard that time and time again this offseason. They've been saying JJ Arcega-Whiteside's having a big offseason. Deshaun is healthy now. They didn't have Deshaun at the end of last year. So these are things that they could sort of maybe work through if they feel comfortable enough. I do think this gives a slight bump to maybe Dallas Goedert, you know, if Rager's not there, because that's another guy that should get a few more targets and some different opportunities. And Zach Ertz, you know, if you were concerned about him, this helps him as well. But, you know, you got to see what the running backs look like. I mean, we're hoping Miles Sanders is ready for week one. You know, week to week could be week two, week three, week four. Who knows?
Yeah, I had I'm working on my sleepers, breakouts, and busts for this week, and I had Zach Ertz in the busts, and he's going to be deleted before that goes out for publication.
It's funny because I led the story with the guys that have changed for me, and in my first version of sleepers, which was back in March, I think, I had Ertz there too, expecting him to be you know, still around three pick, and I said, you know, there's no way you can call him a bust now based on where he's going. I mean, you know, his ADP right now is fine. He may bump up a few spots, but I think you're right, Keith. You know, there's no reason to suggest that he's going to fail, but I still take Andrews over him.
Okay, so how about the Eagles wide receivers? Dave, how are you approaching this group?
It's Deshaun in the double-digit rounds, and that's it for now.
Why not, you know, why not like a ninth, eighth or ninth round pick on Deshaun? Why isn't he a top 100 player?
I think I can find a better wide receiver there than Deshaun Jackson.
There's
still pitfalls with him too, especially now that he doesn't have speed on the other side of him.
Okay. All right, then. That's the biggest news item of the weekend. The biggest news item of the week is what's coming up on Wednesday. Let's say that. A 6-hour fantasy football draftathon Wednesday, September 2nd, supporting St. Jude. Join us, join the FFT crew and industry experts from NFL Network, Yahoo, and more. We're going to provide nonstop fantasy advice and analysis. Here's how the 6 hours break down. 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on CBS Sports HQ. 8 to midnight on Twitch. That's twitch.com/FFtoday. There are also eBay auctions, including a spot in the Listener's League. The link is in the episode description. eBay.com. I'm not even going to give this out. Just click, check it out in the episode description. And So that's coming up on Wednesday, okay? 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on HQ, 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on Twitch. We're going to have so much fun. I created a brand new game this afternoon that everybody's going to love. Of course, Jamie told me about it, so it's really his idea. But, you know, I put it on paper, so I'm going to take credit for it. And we're going to have a lot of fun on Twitch and, of course, on HQ. Now, the first episode of our new podcast drops tonight. Fantasy Football Today in 5 is out. That's coming out. It's going to be Monday morning, like 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning, something like that. Get you caught up with the news of the day in just 5 minutes. Download and subscribe to Fantasy Football Today in 5 on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, smart speakers, or wherever you listen to podcasts. By the way, I'm going to put that first episode in this feed. That will be the only one I put in this feed. I'm not going to put the other ones in this feed, but just in case you want to hear it, the first episode will be in this feed. You can listen to it, then go over to the other feed, Fantasy Football Today in 5, and subscribe. All right. I've got a COVID question because people are asking best ways to manage IR spots and all that. Does a fantasy manager have exclusive rights to the backup of a player on his or her fantasy team? You know what I'm saying? Or do I need to clarify that? Who gets ruled out?
You mean
who gets ruled
out? The backup is on waivers?
Yeah, the backup's on waivers. The starter gets ruled out. Does that manager have exclusive rights, or is it a free for all? Oh my gosh, Saquon Barkley's out. We got to go pick up Wayne Gallman, something like that.
The free for all.
Okay, so then, but what do you do about the quarterback situation? Do you change the rules for quarterbacks?
I guess I'll amend what I said. If you have some sort of agreement ahead of time, you know that in the event that said player is placed on the COVID reserve list, however they're going to define it, inactive because of COVID, and you decide that if that player is the backup player is available, then the player who the fantasy manager's impact automatically gets it. So gets that player. So it clearly is going to most likely be the quarterback's available. Who's carrying the second quarterback on the team? You know, unless maybe Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill or, you know, however it goes. So the quarterback should be there. Most cases, the tight end should be there. You know, I don't think a lot of people are carrying second tight ends aside from, you know, the Dallas Goddards of the world. But the running backs and the wide receivers, for the most part, are probably going to be owned, especially the running backs. You know, the one you gave the example of, Wayne Gallman, I don't know how many people are running to get Wayne Gallman unless the matchup is just that completely fantastic.
Yeah, but, I mean, but it could, you know, look, there could certainly be a scenario where got Christian McCaffrey.
Frank Gore is available.
Mike Davis is available. Like, he's going to be a top 30 running back. He's going
I think if you have the agreement, the arrangement of, yes, you get that player, your league decides that ahead of time. If that player is available in free agency, then that's something you guys should decide as a league. I would not personally do that unless you're talking about maybe the quarterback or the tight end.
Okay. I think a commissioner's got to do something this year if he or she hasn't done something already. Whether it's if it's add a couple of extra roster spots so people can safeguard their top players, that's one thing. If it's this decision where you've got exclusive rights to a free agent, if the starter's ruled out, that's another thing you can do. A commissioner has to do something, but once it's determined, and when I say the commissioner, so he doesn't have to act unilaterally. He can ask everybody else in the league. Once that's determined, that's it. So if you determine, all right, everybody gets 3 extra roster spots. If you want to spend it on sleepers, go ahead. Or if you want to spend it on backups for your star players, do that too. However you want, they're your 3 spots. And then if you're stuck because, you know, Mark Ingram is on the reserve COVID list and somebody else has J.K. Dobbins and the only guy left on the waiver wire is Gus Edwards and, oh, somebody else just took him, that's it. You're stuck. That's your fault for not being prepared. That's up to the commissioner to decide. But a commissioner has to do something.
All right. Today's show is actually a Sleepers Breakouts bus show. We're going to give you a ton of names. That's going to be mostly in the second half of the show. We're going to get you there with some news and notes along the way. Got some hey real quick. And I got some emails planned. Hopefully we get to them. But let's get through the rest of the news and notes. Another rave review for Blake Jarwin is Dallas Executive Vice President Stephen Jones said Blake Jarwin had an amazing camp. This was after Jerry Jones basically said the same thing. So we talked about that on Friday's show. Ronald Jones hurt his foot and Dave Richard was like getting pretty upset about it, I think, on Twitter, ready to drop him. And now Ronald Jones is back in practice. No, drop him in your rankings, I mean.
There was a chance. You had to think that there could be something wrong when you hear about a player's foot wrapped in ice, but Bruce Arians said it wasn't a big deal, and it wasn't.
He's back in practice, and he scored a 1-yard touchdown in their scrimmage on Friday, which was cool.
And LeSean McCoy had a fumble that forced the entire offense to run laps.
A LeSean McCoy fumble. Never have I ever. And LeSean McCoy also scored a touchdown on a 2-point conversion. So they both apparently were in there in short yardage. It's been an interesting few days for Le'Veon Bell and the New York Jets. Le'Veon Bell is reportedly like not looking good at camp. They traded for Kalen Ballage. That trade has been voided because of an injury. And LaMichael Perine, a rookie out of some crappy school, it's a great school. We love University of Florida. It's great. He got hurt. So he might have suffered a serious injury. I think it was an ankle injury. Yeah. Okay.
I think he got carted.
He did.
That stinks. I just took Ronald Jones over Le'Veon Bell in a mock draft, half PPR.
You should have.
I would have done it in a real draft, too.
No.
How are we feeling about Le'Veon Bell?
I got him after you passed on him.
Oh.
In round 6.
Cool.
And it felt gross, but at least it's round 6.
I just took Le'Veon Bell in round 6 of a mock draft.
Yeah.
That I'm doing with you guys.
Which one?
The half PPR mock draft.
The one Dave was just...
I thought I took him. I guess I didn't take him. You know what? I took AJ Green. Never mind. I didn't take him. I let some other sucker take that guy. Who wants Le'Veon Bell on their team? Good gracious.
Well, Heath, so I had 3 running backs on the board when I needed one. It was Le'Veon Bell, Ronald Jones, and Mark Ingram. I went with Ronald Jones. What would you have done?
I probably would have taken Ronald Jones too. Like, I have Le'Veon Bell. No, I don't. I've got Bell ranked higher still, and half PPR. Man, I have two. Part of the reason for that is I've drafted Le'Veon Bell too much this year in the 4th round. And so I'm drafting the 6th round, and all that means is more Le'Veon Bell, which I don't really want.
Like, well, what's going to have to happen in order for him to have a good season?
Them to give him the football as many times as they did last year. That's it.
Well, the Perine injury is significant here because that was another guy who could have taken snaps away from Bell.
I don't think so.
No?
No. It's Frank Gore for the most part.
Well, okay. All right. Fair enough. The Vikings acquired Yannick Ngakoue from the Jaguars. They gave up a 2nd-round pick and a conditional pick that could become a 3rd. How significant is this move here for the Vikings getting Ngakoue?
It makes me less certain about the Vikings' pass volume increase. Is what I would say. Like, they were a borderline fantasy defense, probably not someone you were drafting as a starter because they didn't have a great week 1 matchup. Now I think they're probably a low end starter as a fantasy defense. No,
that Brian Bulaga loss is felt a little bit more that week 1 matchup.
Mm-hmm. Hosting the Packers in week 1.
Yep.
Tough
Packers,
start to the
Colts,
season.
Titans.
Packers, Colts, Titans, Texans, Seahawks, Falcons by Packers. That's their first 7 games. That's a tough start for the Vikings. The Chargers, this is a significant injury. Derwin James, one of the best safeties in football, IDP star, hurt his knee, is going to miss significant time, according to Ian Rappaport. First game of the year is at Cincinnati for the Chargers, then the Chiefs after that. So a tough one there, Derwin James. Kerryon Johnson likely to start. Why should Kerryon Johnson be moving up at this point? Because DeAndre Swift's still out. And
absolutely.
Yeah. So what are we thinking about? This is a sleeper show, after all. Is Kerryon Johnson a sleeper now?
I don't know if he falls in that category, but I guess based on where he's being drafted, probably yes, as one of those mid-round sleepers. It's clearly a little bit more obvious now because that's why you'd be saying it is DeAndre Swift missing time, but that's what happens. So I think you look at it at as long as I always viewed it this way, as long as Kerryon was healthy, he was going to still be the touch leader. He wasn't going to be the receptions leader in the backfield, but I thought he was going to be the touch leader. And then you're just waiting on the eventual injury, which unfortunately tends to happen for him. But look, DeAndre Swift had no offseason. He had no preseason. And now he's missing over a week of training camp practice. He's clearly behind, So the fact that they've been running Ty Johnson as the 2nd guy by default, he's going to get an opportunity now to maybe be the 2nd guy early in the season until Swift is up to speed. Now, this could be Alvin Kamara, where, doesn't need a trade for it to happen, but, by week 4, week 5, he's clearly the 2nd guy and hopefully putting up good numbers. I hope it's not the Miles Sanders situation, but you take that, if you get that type of guy by the end of the year. So I'm still going to take Swift over Kerryon, but now the gap is certainly much closer.
Yeah, I started my sleepers column with it's funny that we have maybe 5 or 6 week 1 starting running backs available after pick 90, according to ADP. And Kerryon's obviously the guy you'd get most excited about out of that group.
Bears in week one, Packers, Cardinals. Those could be great matchups for him in weeks two and three. Okay, so would you take Kerryon Johnson or DeAndre Swift? Who would you take first?
I'm still taking Swift first as the long-term play. But okay. Kerryon, I would hate to get both, but maybe it works out that way if you get Swift in round six or seven and you get Kerryon in round eight or nine.
It's funny. I had to, in this father-son draft I did today, so they asked me to grade the teams at the end. And the guy who picked first, who had McCaffrey, he got Tyreek Hill in round two and George Kittle in round three. So it was a very favorable start for him. But his second running back is the Swift Kerryon combination. And he was explaining to his son after he took Swift, he's like, Kerryon's still there. You know, we get the Lions backfield locked up. So I was sitting next to him while he was explaining that to him. So when I was recapping the draft, I said, you're teaching your child about handcuffing the Lions backfield. You get a letter downgrade for that pick, that duo alone.
D for Detroit.
Deebo Samuel looking good, running hard at practice. Brandon Ayuk has a hamstring injury. Deebo Samuel, is he a top 100 pick for you?
Nope.
No.
If he's getting close to healthy, he'll be certainly, you know, probably 20 spots higher for me.
Deebo or DeSean Jackson?
DeSean.
That's a good one. I think if it's almost like, you know, how you would draft Jonathan Taylor and Marlon Mack. Like, I think Deebo is the Jonathan Taylor play. You know, you want him hopefully playing at his best by the middle to the end of the season because you're not drafting either one's a starter. So if you need somebody for the early part of the year, you draft Deshaun.
They're literally back-to-back in my rankings, Jackson ahead of Deebo.
I mean, I feel like is Jackson a starter in week one against Washington? Last year against Washington, week one, he had like 150 yards and two touchdowns.
Great opportunity for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Clyde Edwards-Helaire Heath, is he struggling in pass protection?
No, I don't think so. There was a thing where Eric Bieniemy was asked how he's developing, and he, I guess, answered that he understands if you don't do that well, then you're not going to play. Mm. And it kind of read the quote, kind of read like he's not doing it well, so he's not going to play, but there's some mystery surrounding that. So I think he's okay. I don't think it's that big a deal.
Darrell Williams will be Edwards-Helaire's backup, according to The Athletic. Drew Brees is predicting a breakout from Traquan Smith. Is Traquan Smith worth drafting in a 12-team league?
No.
Not yet.
Matt Nagy won't name a starting quarterback until the season opener. Is a Bears quarterback worth drafting in a 30-team league? Super flex. Tom Brady likes wide receiver Scotty Miller. Excuse me. Adam Azer likes water, but doesn't have any. Oh, there it is. Is there any fantasy impact of that? Like, could that take away from Godwin, Evans, et cetera?
It could make Miller something. Maybe it's like a bye week guy. We don't know how much playing time he'll actually get, but he's throwing a little bit of a wrench into everybody in the passing game for
it. It's just so weird because all the talk of the 12 personnel, you know, with, you know, playing two tight ends, they can't play three receivers and two tight ends. No. So, you know, I don't know where he's going to slot in. If OJ Howard's doing all this great work, and, you know, I guess maybe it goes back to the talk of Gronk and the struggles that he had. Is he going to be an every down player? Because if he's not an every down player and OJ Howard's the primary tight end, that doesn't mean he's the better fantasy tight end. But if OJ Howard's the primary tight end, then they do get Scott Miller on the field and Gronk comes in some sub packages.
Wide receiver Bryan Edwards for the Raiders. He's been starting, getting some love out there. Is he worth drafting in a 12-team league?
No.
Yeah. Late round flyer.
I agree with Jamie. I think he's a late round guy.
All right. Would you take Bryan Edwards or Henry Ruggs?
Ruggs.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not close.
And last news item, Ben Schrager has never had a Ritz handy snack. You know, the ones with the red sticks that they don't make anymore, the red sticks.
Oh, man, I love those.
Yeah, everybody did. Because they had the stick.
Heath, do you like those, Heath?
Heath doesn't like anything.
It's not really my style of food.
There we go. I'm not alone. I have no idea what they are.
Yeah, there's no chance that Ben Schrager's eating that. He's not. He's going to actually read the ingredients, and he's like, he's out.
Heath doesn't have time for a red plastic knife stick.
It's probably true. Yeah. The stick was very fun, but apparently they're more eco-friendly now, so no stick anymore, which is really the only reason to have it. But Ben Schrager is a big
fan.
Definitely
not the cheese.
Yeah, very processed. Very big. Schrager loves Dunkaroos, so kudos to you, Ben. Vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
No, chocolate is the answer. All right. Hey, real quick. That was the first hey, real quick, by the way. Dunkaroos icing.
Hey,
what?
Hey, real quick.
What's up?
Sleepers and breakouts and busts.
What do you mean?
I was just teasing you.
Why? Because we're not getting to them?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
He hasn't been on a Sunday night show in a while. Adam's got to get warmed up. It's
late night. Hour number two will be sleepers, breakouts, and busts. Hey, real quick, Tyler Boyd or Michael Gallup?
Gallup. I'll take Boyd in PPR.
Yeah, same. Gallup non-PPR, Boyd PPR.
Josh Allen or Matt Ryan?
Ryan.
Allen.
Allen.
Patrick Mahomes or Kenny Galladay?
Galladay in a one quarterback league.
Oh, yes. Oh, really, Jamie? Who are you taking in a two quarterback
league? Answering the question, sorry.
Galladay, Heath? What do you say?
I did not hear who you were
Mahomes
asking
about. Or Galladay?
Galladay.
Okay, sorry. Evan Engram or Devin Singletary?
Engram.
Engram. Singletary is falling fast.
Yeah, I'd say Engram.
I want to come up with one more. Schrager, give me one more. One more, hey, real quick.
Michael Gallup or Kareem Hunt?
Gallup. Hunt.
Dude, that's pretty bad to use Michael Gallup again. Like, yeah. That's really bad.
I couldn't come up with another wide receiver. There's not that many out there.
All right, guys.
Le'Veon Bell or Frank Gore?
I've got a Facebook poll that everybody needs to know about. The question was, if one member of the FFT crew could be your dad, who would you choose? I'll tell you all about that, plus who made the podcast league, and play a great song by one of our podcast league members, actually for the People League members, later on in the show. I thought we'd get to that a little earlier, but Heath is right. We need to get to sleepers, breakouts, and busts, so let's do it. Let's start with sleepers. I want five from each of you. I want a quick explanation when you would take them in your drafts and who you would take them ahead of. Are you ready for that task, Dave Richards? Set the example for everybody.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that task.
I'm totally ready.
All right, Heath.
Go for it, Heath.
You can go
first. You always want to go first in these things. You never want to wait until the end.
Why?
Because you have to just say your guys, okay. And then you can't repeat somebody else's guys.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew. You know, I
nobody's repeating him. Don't worry.
Pete Prisco might. Jay Green might.
I like him. You should, before Heath goes on. So we did like a fireside chat with Pete on Thursday, I think it was. And Pete was talking. I was asking Pete like about the conversation he's had, and he was talking up Gardner Minshew. And Heath was on the side of the set. I've never seen a smile so big when Pete, of all people, talking up Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
And then the conversation continued afterwards, and he just couldn't stop smiling.
That's good. It's his guy, man. All right. So Gardner Minshew, why and when would you take him?
I mean, we've talked about it a bunch. 600 pass attempts. They are so high on Laviska Shenault. He may have two excellent weapons in the passing game instead of just DJ Chark. And he was a borderline number one last year. So I don't know why he wouldn't be this year.
And who would you take him over? Give me two quarterbacks.
Daniel Jones and Jared Goff.
All right, Gardner Minshew's number one, and who's number two for you?
Number two will be James White.
Oh, very interesting. Okay.
Yeah, kind of in that same Kerryon Johnson range of the draft. I think he's the end of round 9, actually, by CBS ADP. And I think, Cam doesn't have a long history of throwing to his running backs, but when he had a really good pass-catching running back, he threw it to him a ton. There have been mixed reviews about almost all of the New England wide receivers, and except for Julian Edelman, who just hasn't been there at practice most days. So White could just see a ton of targets again.
And give me two players you take him ahead of.
In full PPR, I will take him. Man,
you want me to say names? Jordan Howard,
James White,
Kerryon Johnson,
and David Montgomery. Jordan Howard and David Montgomery.
Okay, all right, there we go. Gardner Minshew, James White, and
man, this is really hard. I didn't tell anybody this before the on air, but I'm doing an auction and a draft while I'm doing a podcast.
salary
cap and a draft, which is even more difficult if you can believe that. Jamison Crowder.
More syllables.
Jamison Crowder. Some sites where Jamison Crowder is like a 12th or 13th round pick. And he was a top 20 wide receiver when Sam Darnold was on the field last year. And that was with Robbie Anderson on the team. All the guys that they went out and got to replace Robbie Anderson have been hurt through training camp. Like, no wide receivers are practicing with Sam Darnold except for Jamison Crowder. He might get 150 targets. And if Sam Darnold actually improves as a quarterback, like I think we all think is somewhat possible, he could be a top 15 guy at PPR.
Would you take any rookies over him, or would you take Crowder over all of the rookies?
I would take him over all of the rookies.
All right, that's three. Minshew, White, Crowder.
I'll cheat and say Laviska Shenault. Okay. I think the name that Pete said was Andre Johnson.
That's right.
That they were comparing him to, which
that's
is...
not Pete who's comparing him to that. That's their receiver coach, Keenan McCardle. They're right. Comparing him to, yeah.
I would take him before Brandon Ayuk and Jalen Rager.
Gardner Minshew, James White, Jameson Crowder.
With Rager.
Laviska Shenault. And give me another Jaguar. Chris Thompson?
I do not have any more. I will give you... Are we on three or four? Are we on four or five now?
You're on five here.
This is number five. I'm going to go with Jonnu Smith. You've talked about what his numbers were when Ryan Tannehill threw the ball last year. And the thing that we talked about, he was on a 500-yard, five-touchdown pace with Tannehill, counting the games where he didn't throw the ball hardly at all. And we expect a 15% increase in pass attempts for Tannehill, and they haven't added anyone else to really take those targets. So I think there's 700-yard upside, and it'll just depend on the touchdown he scores. He might be the number two target in this offense.
Yeah, so he played 10 games with Tannehill, basically. And in six of those 10 games, Tannehill threw 27 or more passes. So six times in 10, 27 or more passes. He had 60 or more yards four times in those six games. He had all three of his touchdown catches. He was on pace for 832 yards and eight touchdowns when Tannehill threw 27 or more passes in six games. I know it's a bit of a wonky Azer stat, but it just does show you that when they threw, he got a lot of targets and he produced. All right, so Gardner Minshew, James White, Jameson Crowder, Laviska Shenault, and Jonnu Smith for Heath. Dave, how you doing over there?
I'm ready to rock if you are.
Give me five.
First one's Austin Hooper, who some people might say isn't a sleeper because everybody knows who he is, but his ADP is right around round 10. And I think he's going to catch a bunch of touchdowns in Cleveland. I've got him ranked ahead of Fant, Gesicki, and Rob Gronkowski. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. And we're all sleeping on Austin Hooper just because he went to the Browns.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Good execution.
Paris Campbell's the next one on the list. I think he's probably more of a PPR only type of a sleeper, but I see this Indianapolis offense being very spread out and him playing out of the slot. We've seen Phillip Rivers lean on slot receivers. Keenan Allen got a ton of targets. I know that T.Y. is going to be the main guy. I think this is the second best guy. The Trey Burton injury helps him out a lot. He's in the concussion protocol because of a car accident. This guy is pretty unlucky, all things considered, but it sounds like he's going to be fine. Frank Reich talked him up on SiriusXM NFL radio, said he had a phenomenal offseason and is anticipating him contributing this year. Late round stash at wide receiver.
All right, but DeSean Jackson or Paris Campbell?
DeSean. But it's close. I've got him ranked like this. DeSean, Debo, Golden Tate, Paris Campbell.
Okay. All right, Austin Hooper, Paris Campbell. Who else?
Jerick McKinnon. 49ers held on to him for a long time. There's got to be a reason for it at this point. Again, another PPR only type of a sleeper. But I'm starting to buy into Raheem Mostert more and more. I just thinking about the Shanahans, how their track record is with unheralded running backs, turning them into stars. He's a great fit for that offense. The O-line is pretty good, even despite injuries that they have to center in training camp. And Mostert will be the lead guy. Tevin Coleman's the one who I think is in jeopardy because Mostert can be good. And McKinnon is a great pass catcher on passing downs.
All right, we got Austin Hooper, Paris Campbell, and Jerick McKinnon. Give me two more.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Packers didn't draft A.J. Dillon to sit there and watch Aaron Jones have another huge year. There's got to be things they love about him. And based on what you've seen on social media, the dude's got power for days. Those legs are incredible. He's going to factor in. I don't know if he'll just be a pain in the butt for people that start Aaron Jones each week, but he's going to be a factor for them. It could be just short yardage situations, could be as the second running back in a rotation. I think he's going to matter at some point this year.
Who would you take him over? Would you take him over? I forgot to mention Bryce Love. Some speculation he might not even make the roster. Would you take A.J. Dillon or Bryce Love?
A.J. Dillon easily. I'll take him over. It's not going to be sexy names. I'm going to take A.J. Dillon over, but Malcolm Brown, who I think could fizzle pretty quickly with the Rams, Adrian Peterson, maybe the same thing with Washington. I've got him one spot ahead of Sony Michel in PPR.
Okay. Last sleeper?
Last sleeper's Jared Goff. You can have your Minshew, Heath, but Jared Goff's got this amazing receiving core. Might even be getting deeper with Van Jefferson, leaving dudes in the dust with his route running. Questions about the run game.
offensive line is definitely going to be the biggest hindrance for Jared Goff, but this is a team that could throw plenty, and Goff has a lot of great targets to throw to. I think he's an awesome value late on draft day.
And you take him ahead of?
I would take him ahead of Cam Newton.
Okay. Austin Hooper, Paris Campbell, Jerick McKinnon, A.J. Dillon, and Jared Goff. Jamie, feel confident you can knock this out?
Sure.
Let's do it. Five sleepers.
I'll go with my guy, Josh Kelly. You know, I like the fact that the reports have been glowing this offseason, and I think he's going to be better than Justin Jackson, or Josh Jackson, as I keep saying. But, you know, there's 200 touches available with Melvin Gordon gone, that Austin Eckler will clearly help take some of that. But I think Kelly's got a chance for 150-plus targets and a guy that you can get extremely late.
Carries.
So, yeah, I'm excited about him.
All right, Josh Kelly. Who else?
Josh Kelly would be one. I'll just, keep giving my guys. Steve Sims, you've heard me say it from the start of the offseason, the way they closed last year, the fact that this receiving core needs some desperate help, and he's just continued to get rave reviews. So he's going to play inside. I think he'll play a little outside as well. They'll be creative in how they put the ball in his hands. But, Sims is going to be the second best pass catcher for the Washington football team behind Terry McLaurin.
Okay, let's keep comparing him to DeSean Jackson. Sims or Jackson?
I'll take Sims, based on health and based on his role.
Sims or Paris Campbell?
Sims.
Dave, Sims or Paris Campbell?
Campbell.
Jamie, three more sleepers.
I'll give you two tight ends. Again, two guys that I've been talking about a lot. Chris Herndon for the Jets. Heath kind of summed it up with Jameson Crowder, but Herndon's a guy that's going to be needed in that offense with the receiving core falling apart. And for what it's worth, Gase loves him, but Sam Darnold loves him. And I heard a tip from a friend of a friend who has somebody that they know on the Jets roster that they like him a lot, and he is just matching up with anybody that is lined up across from him, and he is dominating them in practice. So I'm sad that we didn't get to see Chris Herndon last year, but I think that's going to lead to him having a big third season after what he showed us in his rookie campaign.
You want a fun fact on Herndon?
Sure.
Half of his targets in 2018 were him running out of the slot. So not a traditional tight end, way more receiver than blocker. There's a lot to like about Chris Herndon, even though he's a Jet.
They've been splitting him out wide too, so it's not just in line or in the slot. They've been using him in some wide receiver formations.
He might be their number two wide receiver.
He might be.
He could be. And the Gase hasn't developed a great tight end in several years. So I don't know if that, I think that might just be circumstantial more than anything else.
Well,
he's got a good opportunity.
He hasn't developed anything.
slot receiver.
He's developed some incredible means.
He can do some slot receiver numbers.
Yeah,
Jarvis, I guess Landry, so. Jameson Crowder. That's it, though.
Okay. All right, Jamie, who was the other tight end?
You said at the top of the show, Blake Jarwin. I mean, okay. I can't say enough good things about my buddy Blake. Again, I think you look at what the target share is. There's 166 targets available between Cobb and Witten being gone. But just look at the 83 targets that Witten left. If you get 80 plus targets, that puts you in the conversation. As I told you, Adam, puts you in the room where it happens. So, he has a chance to be in that 80 target range after having 41 targets himself last year. So 11 of the top 13 tight ends in fantasy and PPR last year had 80 plus targets. And I think he's going to be 80 plus targets. So again, he has a chance to be a top 12, top 10 type of guy. And the reports just continue to be glowing.
All right.
Six career touchdowns have come against the Giants.
Jarwin. Jarwin or Herndon?
I have them both in my top 12. Right now, Herndon is 11. Wow. Jarwin is 12. But I would take both over Hooper and Gronk if you're looking for big names.
Okay. And your last sleeper?
My last sleeper, he's a little bit more of a little higher up on the depth chart, I guess, or the rank list. But Anthony Miller. Another guy that you've heard me say a lot of things about, third-year wide receiver, big opportunity. Fact that he's finally cleared with that shoulder injury for full contact is a great sign. Spoke to Adam Johns of The Athletic, who covers the Bears, and he said that Miller is going to have an opportunity to play a big role. One thing he referenced unsolicited, which I like because it's something I reference a lot too, is when Taylor Gabriel went down. You saw his numbers pop. And the one thing Adam said was he seemed to have a reluctance early in his career, his first year and a half, to play inside. And now he's going to be inside because of Robinson and Ted Ginn and the tight ends. He said they're going to play a lot of two tight end set with Cole Kmet and Jimmy Graham. But the fact that he was able to make some plays inside going to give him an opportunity to see an uptick in targets. And whoever the quarterback is, I think is going to lean on Anthony Miller.
All right, Jamie's sleepers are Josh Kelly, Steven Sims, Chris Herndon, Blake Jarwin, and Anthony Miller. We're going to take a quick break. Breakouts and busts and podcast league participants and songs when we come back. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Jamie, you get to start here. Your five breakouts, please.
Give me all the Josh Jacobs in every format possible. 60-catch Josh Jacobs is going to bust out in his sophomore campaign and perform even better than he did in his rookie season.
All right, so where are you taking him?
I'm taking him the first round regardless of format. So he's number seven at the running back position for me in non-PPR, and he is a pick 10 through 12, depending on how the first round goes in PPR. So I'm taking him over Derrick Henry in every format.
Miles Sanders or Josh Jacobs?
Miles Sanders in PPR, Josh Jacobs in non-PPR.
Okay.
Really close now in PPR between those two.
It certainly is, but the receiver injuries are going to help Miles Sanders if he's healthy.
All right, Jamie, number two.
Number two would be DJ Chark. So he had a good second year in the NFL, as we saw. I think he's going to be better in his sophomore campaign to continue the, his third season to continue the Jaguars' love here. I while Andre Johnson Light might be on the other side, DJ Chark's going to lead this team in targets and have a huge season. This defense is going to be bad after losing Ngakoue. You know, this is going to be, it's funny because I think Gardner Minshew is going to end up having a good season fantasy wise as he steps out the door when Trevor Lawrence walks in to replace him in the 2021 campaign. But you know, he's going to lean on his best receiver, and Chark clearly showed that last year.
All right. Well, going to have to be worse than the Giants. Okay. So DJ Chark or DK Metcalf?
Oh, DJ Chark.
All right. Josh Jacobs, DJ Chark. Three more.
Will Fuller. Let's bleeping go. League winner. If he plays 16 games with the targets that are available in this offense and how Deshaun Watson, who's another breakout candidate for me, I think he's going to be NFL MVP if Will Fuller stays healthy. I think it's going to be a fantastic year for Will Fuller if he can stay on the field.
Marquise Brown or Will Fuller?
Back to back. I think both guys are very similar, but the one is, 140 pounds and plays in a very run heavy offense.
Okay. Will Fuller or Tyler Boyd?
Will Fuller.
So we got Jacobs, Chark, Fuller. Two more.
Marquise Brown. He's 140 pounds. He's going to be awesome in doing it. Same type of guy. I mean, you're looking at a player that is the number one option in his offense, barring something crazy. And by crazy, I mean Antonio Brown maybe signing with the Ravens. But I think you look at what Marquise Brown showed you at the start of the season when he was averaging 7.5 targets per game, what he showed you in that playoff loss to the Titans. And when the three games the Ravens were trailing in, including that playoff loss, Lamar Jackson's attempts were clearly up, and they're not going to be 14-2 again in the 2020 campaign. So I think Marquise Brown, if healthy, and hopefully he's going to stay healthy, those are two guys very easily comparable that if they play to what their upside is, they're going to help you win some leagues.
Last breakout.
Hayden Hurst. What we see from this offense has been fantastic for the tight end position in the Matt Ryan campaign. So he's been the quarterback there for 12 seasons, and 8 times he's had a tight end get at least 80 targets. So I think we're going to see Hayden Hurst step into an opportunity there to, again, be in the room. And when you're in the room, things happen. So I think it's a big opportunity for Hurst, who, as we know, two seasons for Austin Hooper. He's averaged 93 targets a game, 73 catches a game. I think that's an easy opportunity for Hurst to step into and role for Hurst to step into. And you look at what Ryan said to us on CBS Sports HQ, that despite playing with Tony Gonzalez and Austin Hooper, he said he's never had an athletic tight end like this. And so if this guy plays to what his draft pedigree was as a first round pick for the Ravens, by the way, that they took him ahead of Lamar Jackson, Hayden Hurst has a big opportunity here finally as the feature tight end in his offense.
Two players are taking Hayden Hurst over.
Oh, Gronk, Hooper, Higbee. I think he's got a higher ceiling than Higbee, despite what Higbee did last year.
Okay, that's
Derek
cool.
Cook, who goes at him.
Works for me. Jamie's breakouts are Josh Jacobs, DJ Chark, Will Fuller, Marquise Brown, and Hayden Hurst. Dave Richard.
Who wants to hear me talk about Ronald Jones again?
Hey. You mean the guy that you thought you took? Oh, no. Sorry, that was Le'Veon Bell. Go ahead.
No, I had to make a really tough call between Melvin Gordon and Rojo. I knew you were going to take Rojo in that mock if I let him fall to you. And I'm glad you took him because he deserved to go with a top 50 pick in that draft. And or top 60 pick, rather. I think now that he's healthy, all systems are back on again for him. Round five pick for sure. Lead back in Tampa Bay. Physical, explosive, might even be decent catching the football, might even be decent pass protecting for Tom Brady, going to lead this team in touches, going to work the short yardage goal line. He's going to be fantastic for the Bucs.
Okay, who's next?
Austin Ekeler, who is going to be the lead guy for the Chargers now. They've paid him to be that guy. And we've seen a pretty steady trend here for the past couple of years where the Chargers give the second back anywhere between 8 to 13 touches. That used to be Ekeler. He rarely has had 20 touches in a game, much less 15. Now here he is as the main guy for them. Won't catch as many passes as he did last year, but he'll still get you 65 plus. And I think double-digit touchdowns and certainly well over 1,200 total yards. He's worth a first-round pick.
Who are you taking Austin Ekeler over?
I am taking Austin Ekeler over Derrick Henry. I am taking Austin Ekeler over Josh Jacobs.
You're not taking him over Henry in non-PPR, are you?
No, not in non-PPR, but in full PPR, absolutely. Take him over Mixon in PPR, Miles Sanders. He's made the top 10 overall for me in full PPR.
All right, we've got two players so far from Dave, Ronald Jones and Austin Ekeler. Give me three more.
I already mentioned my interest in Raheem Mostert. I think that he's someone else that you can start targeting in that round 5, 6, maybe 7 range if you get fortunate enough. He's more of a non-PPR guy. He just doesn't have the track record with receptions. And I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to catch a lot of passes so long as McKinnon's healthy. That might last a month or it could last longer than that. We'll see. The 49ers are definitely going to use two running backs on a regular basis, but this is going to be their main one. He proved how good he was last year, and he's having another good camp now.
Who would you take Raheem Mostert over?
David Montgomery. I would take him over him. And that's even in PPR. I would take him over DeAndre Swift at this point. Singletary, okay. Some non-running backs.
All right.
I would take him over Waller.
Did anybody get the text message I just sent, by the way?
No. My phone's way over there. I don't have my phone while
I did, but I haven't talked since then.
My next breakout is DK Metcalf. Who I think could be in line for double-digit touchdowns as well. Seattle's offense should really hammer the pass a little bit more than they have before. And I think Metcalf's just a fantastic talent. It's going to be hard for teams to double-team him. Who would I take DK Metcalf over? Well, that's right. A great question, Adam. I'm glad you asked. I would take him over Odell Beckham. I would take him over Amari Cooper. I would take him over Marquise Brown. And last but not least, Jamie mentioned Chark. I won't mention him. I'll mention Tyler Boyd. Now, Boyd's had some really good years already, but he's having a great camp. He managed to be the only Bengals wide receiver that stayed pretty much healthy this entire camp. Joe Burrow's looking for him quite a bit. He looked for Justin Jefferson out of the slot. If AJ Green's healthy, that makes it all the better for Tyler Boyd, not because he's going to necessarily see a ton of targets with AJ Green, but because he'll be efficient on them just as he was in the first 8 games of 2018. I could see him having 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. That's a great find in round 6 in PPR.
All right, Dave's breakouts are Ronald Jones, Austin Ekeler, Raheem Mostert, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Boyd.
I'm taking Boyd over Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
<In PPR. laughs>
Heath, I need you to set an example here. Give me five breakouts.
First off, can we play a game of guess the over-under of how many names Jamie or Dave said that I'm going to put as a breakout now after the after this time period of listening?
Two and
I'm
a half.
Very good at. Three and a half?
I'll take the over. No, I'll take the under.
Did anyone say Kyler Murray?
No.
Like, this might be the first fantasy football podcast someone's listened to all year, and I think that Kyler Murray should be talked about in our breakout show. I am below where his ADP is on him, but I still expect he's going to have the best year of his career. He ran so much last year that it gives him a great floor, and almost all rookie quarterbacks improve as a passer. So you should expect Kyler Murray, if he plays 16 games, to be a top five fantasy quarterback this year.
And he got DeAndre Hopkins.
Uh-huh. Okay, give me four more.
Nobody said DJ Moore either, right?
No.
As a 22-year-old, he went over 1,100 yards in 14 games catching passes from Kyle Allen. He's terrible. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be better. DJ Moore, I would take ahead of DeAndre Hopkins and ahead of Chris Godwin.
Okay, next up.
Calvin Ridley has like a late fourth round ADP somehow. He was a top 10 wide receiver after Mohamed Sanu got traded last year. He's going to be a top 10 wide receiver this year. And that's if Julio Jones stays healthy and plays 16 games. He'll be top five if not.
Would you take Calvin Ridley or DJ Moore?
I would take DJ Moore over Calvin Ridley.
All right. Would you take DeAndre Hopkins or Calvin Ridley?
In non-PPR, I'll take Ridley.
Okay. Next up.
Next up. We're going to go with Miles Sanders.
Hey, all right.
Like Miles Sanders is, yeah, he's got a little boo-boo right now, but we expect he's going to be okay unless they're lying to us. And we all expect that he's going to earn a first round value if he stays healthy and plays 16 games. Do you know what he did in his final seven games? If you take out the game that Adam doesn't want to count,
the game he left with an injury. Awesome. Yeah, he was awesome. You're absolutely right. All right. And one more breakout.
And my final breakout will be Terry McLaurin.
Okay.
This is one that I've gone back and forth on through the summer, but I've got him right now as a top 15 wide receiver. I think there's a real chance with their receiving core and that offense they're going to run, which is the offense that DJ Moore exploded in his second year last year. There's a chance he might see 130 targets, and he was very efficient on those targets. Again, he has a rookie quarterback that we expect to improve. Terry McLaurin.
All right, Heath's breakouts.
I take the over on the targets.
It's a lot. Kyler Murray, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Miles Sanders, and Terry McLaurin. All right, guys, let's see if we can do busts quickly here. We've got five from each of you, 2-3 sentences, and who you take them over. I'm counting on you, Dave. You get to start with your busts.
I'm going to start with Josh Allen, who I'm just not feeling at all. I think the rushing is going to go down. And if you're trusting him for his passing, he's probably not going to do very well. He is just hanging on in my top 10.
Okay. Who would you take ahead of him?
The old guys, Ryan, Brady, Breeze.
All right. That's Josh Allen. Next.
Next up is Todd Gurley, whose ADP looks like it's right around 30th overall. He's going to have to score 14 touchdowns again to do that. I don't know if I trust him to do that. I don't trust him to be explosive. And I certainly don't think that he's got a chance to play 15 games again. And this is an Atlanta team that loves to throw the ball a ton. He's not nearly as good of a pass catcher as he used to be. I'm going to try and fade Gurley unless he falls to me in late round four.
So Melvin Gordon over him.
I go back and forth between those two. Right now, I do have Gurley one notch ahead of Gordon, both of them mid to late round four.
Okay, next bust.
Jonathan Taylor's being drafted way too soon. He's an awesome talent. He's a great guy. Chris Ballard said on SiriusXM that he doesn't know pass protection yet, so that's a work in progress. They don't have to rush him. They've got Marlon Mack. He had 1,100 yards last year. They'll trust him in that role. They've got Nyheim Hines. He's going to catch the ball a ton. That's what Phillip Rivers does. He'll have a couple of great games, maybe even early on as the Colts blow out Jacksonville. But I see everybody taking him in round three and round four. I can't get behind that.
Okay. At Josh Allen, Todd Gurley, Jonathan Taylor. Two more.
David Johnson's 28 years old. He averages 3.7 yards per carry. Bill O'Brien and the Texans stink at figuring out how to use running backs. They're pretty good at figuring out how to use their quarterback, though, and he'll steal some touchdowns away from whoever's running the ball there. Won't catch a lot of passes. I'm nervous about him.
So Ronald Jones ahead of David Johnson?
Ronald Jones ahead of David Johnson. Le'Veon Bell ahead of David Johnson.
Who's your last bust?
David Montgomery, who on top of not being elusive last year, he ranked 27th out of 28 running backs in that category. Now he's dealing with a groin injury from training camp, and the Bears don't know who their quarterback is yet, and their offensive line stinks. Tariq Cohen's the better playmaker. I'd rather have Cohen than Montgomery in PPR.
I feel like Jamie hasn't spoken in a while. So, Jamie, you get to go next. Dave's busts were Josh Allen, Todd Gurley.
No. He just went last. He can go.
All right, fine. Josh Allen, Todd Gurley, Jonathan Taylor, David Johnson, and David Montgomery. As long as I heard Jamie's sweet voice in there. Go ahead, Heath.
I'm going to just do a thing where I'm going to package two for one in my first two bust calls. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson both have ADPs in the first 10 picks. And I know you've probably heard this, but don't draft them in the first round. They have to repeat what they did in their record-setting years to be worth that. There's not any upside at that point. So do not take those two quarterbacks in the first round
of
a draft.
Take them when?
I would take them in round three. Okay. I would not take them in the second round either, but definitely don't take them in the first round.
All right, two more, three more.
And number two, no, that was number one. Number two is, and we do this every single year as well, but we haven't talked about it yet. The Steelers and the 49ers have eighth and ninth round ADPs. Two years ago, it was the Bears. The year before that, it was Jacksonville with this seventh or eighth round ADP. And not only did they not live up to that, they actually weren't even that good. These defenses will probably be good this year. They won't be worth a pick before round 12. Don't do that.
All right. Next up.
So now we're down to two. So number three, I'll say Le'Veon Bell, because I've drafted him so much, and I want to not be the guy that was telling people to draft Le'Veon Bell. So, it's a bad thing when they're saying Frank Gore is getting 40% of the snaps in practice. It's a bad thing when they say Le'Veon Bell got a carry with the second team today. It's all dumb, and this shouldn't be a concern in the fourth round, but his ADP is in the third round right now, and it's Adam Gase. And so I took him in round six today. If that happens, then you just have to hold your nose, but do not take him in round three or four where his ADP is.
Mahomes and Jackson, Steelers and Niners, Le'Veon Bell. Who else?
DeAndre Hopkins. There was a, speaking of news today, there was a little blurb that came up that said, Cliff Kingsbury really wants to expand Andy Isabella's role. Andy Isabella is not going to have a fantasy impact, but they have 17 wide receivers and they're going to have four guys or five guys lined up. And this is not an offense where you drop back and throw it to the same guy 10 times per game. I've got him projected, I think, generously at 140 targets. That only gets him to 1,100 yards at 8 yards per target. He's been below 8 yards per target four of his past five seasons.
Okay. One more.
The last one is DK Metcalf. It's hard to find a wide receiver based on what round they're being taken as a bust, but he's going ahead of Terry McLaurin, ahead of Cortland Sutton, ahead of Stephon Diggs, ahead of DJ Chark. I would rather have all of those guys than him. Like, we're giving him credit for Russell Wilson being great, and Wilson is great, but he mostly, that's why he was so good last year. I don't think you should expect him to grow on that unless Tyler Lockett gets hurt. And we're hoping Tyler Lockett doesn't get hurt.
All right, Heath's busts are Mahomes and Jackson if they're going in the first round, Steelers and Niners DSTs, Le'Veon Bell, DeAndre Hopkins, and DK Metcalf. Okay, Jamie, you're up.
I get to talk?
Yeah, I guess so. You want Heath to do your
busts? I just want to add one thing to the Hopkins thing, because part of the conversation with Pete, they're talking up Dan Arnold too. And, you know, that's just another guy that they're going to throw the ball to. It's just, I would take the under on those targets, Heath. I think he's going to be around 120. He's still going to be good. I just don't think he's going to be great again. I'm almost tempted to take him out of round two and put him in round three. I'm going to stay consistent, Derrick Henry. I'll take him in the back end of the first round in non-PPR. He's never going to get there. So I'm probably not going to draft a lot of Derrick Henry. Although I did get him in round three of our 2QB league, which was a surprise. So I'll take him there. But in PPR, I'm not going to take him in the first round. And I think it's a mistake based on even Ryan Tannehill saying they're going to involve him in the pass, or he would like to see him involved in the passing game more. That's something that has to come up. I don't think he's going to be much more than 20 to 25 catches. So I'm shying away from Derrick Henry, who lost a big part of his offensive line.
Okay, that's number one. Who's number two?
Another one we talked about a lot, Leonard Fournette. You know, this is you're hearing how much Chris Thompson's playing on passing downs. You know, Chenault not only is going to be part of the receiving game, he's going to be part of the running game as well. They'll give him some carries. And this is a team that is going to have some very, very bad game scripts. So, you know, he'll go from 3 to maybe 6 touchdowns, but that's the only number I see going up for him.
Who would you take ahead of Leonard Fournette?
Oh, man. Jonathan Taylor, for one, that's easy. I would take Gurley, you know, if we're talking about, you know, some of the guys.
How about Mark Ingram?
I would take Ronald Jones ahead of him. I would take Mark Ingram ahead of him in non-PPR.
Derrick Henry, Leonard Fournette, 3 more.
Devin Singletary, you know, just what seemingly a terrible training camp for him. He's had some fumble issues. He's going to, I think, lose goal line work to Zach Moss. He may lose passing down work to Zach Moss. He closed the year, Adam, you've talked about this a lot. You know, his workload was up. He was performing at a high level, but I just don't think that they are in love with him, and they may be a little bit more in love with Zach Moss.
3 more or 2 more.
Get away from the running back. I give you 2 big names at the wide receiver spot, Amari Cooper and Keenan Allen. So for Cooper, you know, we know the story. They add CeeDee Lamb. He was just amazing last year at the start of the season, and clearly injuries were a problem, but he averaged 19.4 PPR points in his first 9 games and 9 PPR points per game in his final 6. So, you know, you're looking at a guy, or 7, excuse me. You're looking at a guy that battled injuries and played through it. I don't know if the contract situation was the motivating factor. You know, maybe he sits out a game or 2 if he is dealing with those injuries. But I just think they're going to have better weapons. You know, Jarwin's an upgrade on Witten, in my opinion. Lamb is an upgrade over Randall Cobb. And I don't think Michael Gallup is going away. So Amari Cooper, for a guy that's going as a top 10 wide receiver based on our ADP, I'm out.
And Keenan Allen. Okay.
And Keenan Allen, we know the quarterback situation, not good. And he's going as the 17th receiver off the board in non-PPR. Wow. No.
Wow. All right. Derrick Henry, Leonard Fournette, Devin Singletary, Amari Cooper, and Keenan Allen for Jamie. Thank you guys for your sleepers, breakouts, and busts. We'll save the Facebook poll for tomorrow's show. It was fun stuff. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/fantasyfootballtoday. And congratulations to these people who are in the podcast league. Joey Wright is sharing a team with Dave. Jordan Krasner won our NFL draft contest way back when. Zach Berger got in because Jamie gives away spots like Halloween candy, and he gave one away to Zach Berger. Alan in Philly, one of our biggest fans, he's in. Joe Cabalbo, congratulations. Chad Meldrum, Justin Keller, Isaac Olson. You heard the song that Isaac Olson wrote a few episodes ago. And Peter Walker. There was some COVID-related ones. Peter Walker is an active duty researcher working on COVID modeling. Justin Keller is a small business owner who's come on some tough times due to COVID. So definitely wanted to help get those people recognized, get some of them in the league. And I want to thank everybody for their – I'm going to do a thank you earlier in the next show because I know not everybody listens to the entire show when it's an hour long. But you can – listen to Jeff White's song. He made the For the People League. First, I'm going to tell you about Jason, who almost made the cut. Jason's email said, "Hi, my name is Jason. I live in Seattle, Washington. I love your show, and I made a deal with my wife that if I get a spot into your league, then we can have a baby. Please let me in." So I didn't want that responsibility. So he didn't get in, but I did email him back, and they're going to have a baby anyway. So it's a happy ending, I guess you could say. Now, Jeff White.
That might be your best joke ever.
Thank you. I'm going to let Jeff White play us off with the second half of a song he wrote about our show. Oh, that's not it. Sorry, Jeff. Here we go.
Dave Richard, now he's the man. He knows all the best pizza from here to Japan. With his trade charts and drafting tiers, I'm a fan. He knows all the cities you're from in this land. Now he is no geek. He's got sleepers and bust in the start of the week. His Bobby Boucher is pretty unique. He's got a man crush on Pete Prisco. Take a drink.
Take a drink, everybody.
Yeah. Cause FFT, you're the one for me. You got all the information that I need to dominate my draft and win my league. FFT, you're the one for me.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.